We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Alec White, and we are at the Arizona Daily Star podcast studio recording a late night podcast following Arizona's 74-73 overtime loss to number 9 Oregon in Eugene. The 24th ranked Wildcats came up short in a game where it looked like they were about to win in not necessarily dominant fashion, but in convincing fashion. You know, Arizona in the first half, you know, got up by 8 points and it was looking like the Wildcats were going to, you know, piece together an important win, which is huge because the Wildcats haven't had a top 25 win on their schedule. They lost to Gonzaga. They lost, Baylor on the road
Saint
as
John's.
Well, and St. John's, but St. John's wasn't a top 25 team.
No.
But I think the St. John's loss was a bad look for them. But I think it's also a bad look where if we want to talk about Arizona being a Final Four team and you still come up short in these games, I mean, these are important games for your resume. It teaches you a lot. And then if Arizona continues to lose these kind of games, it's going to be very concerning for them heading into Pac-12 tournament and obviously NCAA tournament. Alec, we were sitting side by side watching this entire game. How do you digest everything? Because there's so much to talk about.
I mean, we can go back and talk about so many things. I know we'll get into some of the nuances of the game. But if I told you going into this game, you know, let's just take out the fact that, you know, the Arizona lost. We'll get to that in a second. But if I told you that Nico Mannion was going to have 20 points on the road, shoot 9 of 17 field goals, Arizona was going to shoot 45% from the field, and hold Oregon to 40% from the field, Arizona was going to hit 8 of 23 pointers and hold the Ducks to 7 of 23, and you were going to also hold Peyton Pritchard, arguably one of the Pac-12's best shooters, not to mention overall players. He had 18 points, but a lot of those came at the foul line. He was 6 of 21 total. If I told you all these things in combination, you'd feel like Arizona, you'd have a good chance that Arizona's going to win that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they really did. They had multiple chances to win the game. Down in regulation, they were up 66-60 with a little over a minute left, and Oregon scored the final 6 points. And then in overtime, Arizona, you know, it was back and forth that entire overtime, and Arizona had a chance to win it on the last possession and just couldn't get it done. And I think, you know, the main takeaway is Arizona just didn't do the little things enough at the end of the game to pull out a win. And, you know, those were mistakes. Those were, you know, also attributed to Oregon playing very good basketball, experienced basketball down the stretch. So we'll chalk this up as a good learning experience for Arizona, but a concerning one too, because as you mentioned, we're in January and you don't really have a win over a top 25 team, and they've played, you know, multiple good teams this year.
Yeah. Man, I like you said, Alec, there's just so many layers to this game. How Arizona started and how Oregon, you know, was able to scratch their way back and only be down by a point. Arizona was up by a bucket at halftime. And like I said earlier, I thought Arizona was going to be on its way to a huge victory. I mean, this game was huge for Arizona. It would have been a stamp on what could be a very incredible year for Arizona. You know, I've seen several tweets from, you know, national media guys, and they really still think, even with this loss, that Arizona is capable of making the Final Four, but you need to close out games like this. Because Arizona hasn't had a top 10 win since, or on the road since, UCLA in 2017.
Right.
That was the Alonzo Trier game. Arizona hasn't had that game on the road in the Pac-12 really since that moment. And it's very concerning for Arizona, but in terms of overall personnel, Bill Walton was unbelievable.
Bill Walton was a star of the night. There wasn't a close second as to who was, or close, you know, runner up to who was this, you know, the star. Bill Walton took over the ESPN. It was phenomenal. I know some people don't like his shenanigans, his shtick, but he was eating peanut butter live while broadcasting a basketball game. He had an Oregon Ducks helmet on, talking about playing quarterback. while broadcasting, he was making duck noises. He was saying that Dylan Smith is the greatest thing ever and is going to be one of the big reasons for Arizona. And then 2 minutes later, Dylan Smith has a turnover. It's just, it was all of Bill Walton wrapped into one. It was fun to watch.
My favorite Bill Walton line was, Shakur, not related to Tupac, not Tupac, Tupac. And he was unbelievable tonight in that game. And I enjoy Bill Walton every single time I listen to him. You said it. I know people get annoyed by him, but you know, when they're going over the entire continent of Africa and where, you know, where a couple of Oregon players are from, and where Christian Coloco is from in Cameroon. I mean, his geography knowledge is off the charts, but that was just one of the many layers to this game. Another one, the emergence of Dylan Smith, especially in the second half. I thought that was so weird.
It's the Dylan Smith experience. You're going to get, you know, Dylan Smith is still going to be a key player for Arizona, whether you want him to be or not.
Yeah,
that you just have to accept that this is Dylan Smith's role. This is who he is. He's going to have those moments where you're like, oh no, Dylan, don't touch the ball, Dylan. And then you're going to have those other times where you're like, Dylan, you're shooting the ball. Look at this, a three pointer. I mean, it's who Dylan Smith is. You're not going to change. We've seen enough. You're not going to change how he plays the game. You're going to have to take the good with the bad. And there was plenty of both tonight. You know, I would say there was more good than bad, but there were still, you know, bad in the way that, you know, he had some turnovers down the stretch. He couldn't get Zeke Nnaji the ball. He was trying in overtime on a low post, just kind of threw it out of his reach and it went out of bounds for a turnover. Just the roller coaster of Dylan Smith.
It was great, though.
It was.
It was great.
Whether or not it was bad or good, it was great to watch.
One interesting thing, down the stretch, you notice he was guarding Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, he did actually a wonderful job. They had a little bit of an ISO camera on ESPN. They were showing one of the shots between him and Pritchard was shaking and baking. He put Nico in the spin cycle a couple times, but Dylan Smith locked him down pretty good. You know, and that, I think that was one of the reasons why Pritchard, you know, was only 6 of 21 and only 3 of 11 from the 3-point range. He had 4 turnovers as well. So, you know, kudos to Dylan Smith for holding down one of the Pac-12's best.
Absolutely. And I agree with you, Alec. I think, you know, Dylan Smith, whether you like it or not, he's going to be an important piece to this Arizona team. And it's brought up the conversation, or at least I put out this poll. Who's better between Anaheim Dylan and Eugene Dylan? Because, I mean, Dylan Smith in Eugene over the last few years, ever since he's been a member of the Arizona Wildcats, he's actually performed very well in Eugene, or he's stepped up in big moments. In 2018, he had 20 points and was 3 of 4 from 3. Last season, he had 14 points, was 3 of 6 from 3. And then tonight had 11 points and was 3 of 4 from 3-pointer. I thought Dylan Smith, in the second half specifically, exclude the first half, I thought he had a pretty solid game for Arizona. And it was expected to happen, Alec. Christian Coloco's minutes are starting to improve and increase. But the front court dynamic is so weird at this point. It seems like Sean Miller is still trying to figure out his guys outside of Zeke Nnaji. Zeke Nnaji has been the constant for this team. I mean, in terms of front court players, he's the beat that continues to drum. But the just the overall rotations, you know, Stone Gettings played okay. He was scrappy tonight. He's still trying to get his feet under him after, you know, that facial fracture injury. Christian Coloco's minutes have increased. Ira Lee came in tonight and made a couple of plays. But then Chase Jeter in the second half gets subbed out with 13 minutes left to play. And he's not put back in the game for the remainder of the game. Not in regulation, not in overtime. And to think, just a year ago, Alec, this guy was Arizona's co-captain?
And
along with Justin Coleman?
One of the leading scorers, too.
Yeah. So what the hell has happened to Chase Jeter since the start of this year? I thought he was going to be, okay, the guy where he realizes, man, I don't have to do everything anymore. I got Nico Mannion, I got Zeke Nagy, I got all these guys around me. I don't have to do that, but I could still be productive. I look at, you know, Chase Jeter tonight, 0 points, one rebound in 12 minutes. It didn't look like he was subbed out for an injury. I'll just leave it at that.
No, and I'll find a quote from Miller. Miller was talking in his post-game session, you know, about players that he wants to have. Here it is. So we're only going to play the guys that give us a chance to win and are getting it done. And that's fair when you have a competitive team like we do. I don't know if that was directly speaking as to why, you know, Chase Jeter didn't play the final, you know, 13-08 of the second half and all of overtime. I don't know, but it's pretty striking. You know, he's taking out some of his key seniors. You've got Mac, you know, Chase Jeter's a senior. Max Hazard, who we thought was going to play a bigger role in this team maybe earlier in the year when he was, you know, hitting threes well, not turning the ball over. But Max Hazard only played 8 minutes today. Ira Lee only played 5 minutes. You're relying on a lot of young players for Arizona, and you're right. The front court still is kind of up in flux outside of Zeke Nagy. And quite frankly, they're still struggling to get Zeke Nagy to reach, not reach his full potential, but they're still struggling in big games to be able to find how Zeke Nagy can attack offensively. Because tonight, he was only 3 of 8. He didn't get a lot of touches. And when they were highly contested shots on, you know, maybe some putbacks or some, you know, banana floaters in the paint.
But he still had 14 rebounds.
He still had 14 rebounds. He was great there.
Yeah.
But they really could have used, you know, some more offensive firepower from Zeke. But you're right. He did good rebounding.
And that's the thing that makes Zeke Nagy so valuable to this team is if offense isn't clicking, if that ball's not going in the hoop for him, he can do a lot of different things. He can get you 14 rebounds a game. He also contributed 2 blocks as well. And I'm not trying to rag on Chase Jeter here. I'm not trying to make this podcast thrashing Chase Jeter and saying, oh, he's the most overrated player on earth. But for a guy who was once upon a time a McDonald's All-American, came to Arizona, was a co-captain last year, is a senior at this point, I just don't understand what's not registering. And I think maybe this is Chase Jeter. This is who he is. He's not going to get any better. And it's very disappointing because a lot of people thought many years ago that this guy was going to be in the NBA someday. And so far this season, it's been very inconsistent. And if he was able to put together 10 points, 8 rebounds a game, this Arizona team is scary. But I just don't know what gives.
Yeah, he's not physical enough around the basket is what I'm really noticing. He gets the ball in the low post and he's trying, you know, does his, you know, 3 second fake out and, you know, tries to do a little jump hook. He gets the ball, you know, poked out of his hands too many times for a big man that should be good around the basket. He's just not, I don't think he's Sean Miller's guy for being a big man that he wants down there.
Yeah.
Chase Jeter, he's not a bad player. I think, you know, he's still a useful player for Arizona, but I just don't think he fits in where Sean Miller wants him to, which is being a physical presence down low.
So some numbers here from tonight's game. Nico Mannion led the way in scoring with 20 points, was 9 of 17, shooting 1 of 5 from 3. He also had 3 assists to go along with it. That was in 43 minutes. Josh Green had 17 points in 37 minutes, 7-11 shooting for Green. Pretty impressive night from him. And then Zeke Nagy, the third Wildcat in double figures with 11 points and 14 rebounds. So Arizona loses this game.
Did you like how they handled the late game situations? I mean, I know that that's a lot of what people are kind of talking about on Twitter, of who was shooting and how they drew up those plays at the end of regulation and OT.
The usage of timeouts was very interesting. You know, the regulation, the end of regulation, the very final possession. I would have drawn something up if I was Sean Miller. I would have called a timeout, get a design play to either to Nico or Zeke, one or the other, because it's worked in the past. We've seen it. Arizona's been in late game situations where Nico Mannion and Zeke Nagy have been able to step up. I would have much rather see Sean Miller call a timeout on the road, settle down his team, draw something up, and if you don't make it, okay, you're going into overtime. So what? Figure it out then. But yeah, I just think late game could have been much better, especially the last play in overtime, that inbound.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get a shot off. They didn't even get a look at the basket.
They had two chances to get a shot off. I mean, one was kind of, deflected out of bounds. You know, Zeke was throwing it, and, you know, Pritchard was out of bounds on Peyton Pritchard. And then the following one, Nico inbounded it, trying to get it to Josh Green. It was cutting near the basket. And you're right. Couldn't get a shot off. And it was really tough.
I was looking at some numbers here, and, you know, late in the second half, I tweeted out this just to kind of show you what Oregon was able to do against Arizona in the paint. At one point in the game, Oregon had 18 points in the paint compared to Arizona's 4. In the first half, Arizona had 20, Oregon had 10. So a tale of two halves. And maybe that's why Sean Miller decided to pull the plug on a guy like Chase Jeter, because he wasn't scoring in the paint.
Yeah.
Zeke Nagy, he had some good shots, but he was also double teamed, like you said. All of his shots were contested as well. But Alec, and by the way, good tweet with the Bill Walton, Brian Urlacher helmet thing. I'm going to tell my kids that was Brian Urlacher. Go to Alec's Twitter page. At Alec White _UA. It's incredible. It's awesome. I'm looking at it right now. I can't stop laughing every single time I look at it. But Alec, we put out a question on Twitter for our podcast listeners. If you want to be a part of the podcast, send us your questions, send us your comments, and we'll reply to them on the podcast. So we'll get to our first one at, I can't tell if this is Nico Akala, N-E-K-K-O, Akala. I don't know if it's Nico or Neko, but I appreciate you for replying to us. He said, you think Nico needs another year of college?
I mean, no, he's not. I mean, the short answer is, even if he did, he won't. He's not going to have that next year of college. He's going to go pro, you know, come. You know, the end of the season. I don't think Nico's, you know, even if he didn't decide to leave, I don't know how much he would improve his draft stock. He's going to be probably a lottery pick. He's got too much athleticism to me to stay. I think he's going to go to the NBA. He certainly needs, right now, the only thing you can really poke holes in sometimes, he tries to play too quick. Arizona, he wants to play fast. Sean Miller wants Nico to play fast, but sometimes he hurries himself too much and, you know, has errant passes that result in turnovers. And right now his 3-point shooting isn't great. He had one good three tonight. You know, the rest last, you know, 6-7 games, his 3-point hasn't been falling.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before I think that does start to fall, but I think he's got too much upside as a player to stay in college another year. And players like that, you just don't see him stay around another year.
Now, it's not like a situation with Zion Williamson. I don't know if you saw that. Zion went on J.J. Redick's podcast for The Ringer.
Oh, and he said he really wanted to stay at Duke for another year.
Yeah. Which I'm like, dude, you're tripping. Why would you? Come on, man. I know he's in it for the right reason. He's playing basketball because you genuinely love the game, but this is your livelihood. You have millions of dollars on the table. The selfish part of me says, what are you thinking about, Zion? Like, you're risking your Jumpman endorsement. You're risking the signing deal, because what if you go through all these injuries that you're going through right now at Duke? Your draft stock is going to fall in. Who knows how much money you're going to cost yourself? But Nico Mannion is in a different case where, yeah, he is a first-round pick for sure, but, I mean, he can come back and work on his skills, but why would he? You know, if you're already talked about as a top-10 pick, or Dave Pasch, today on the broadcast, yeah, so he was a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know about that, Dave Pasch. I like DP, but I don't think he's a top 5 pick. But if you're for sure a top 20 NBA draft pick and you have all that facing you, and for Nico, heck, the further he falls in the draft, the better for him because he's going to a better team. Mm-hmm. So I think Nico Mannion is for sure gone. Sean Miller said it earlier this week. You were at that press conference, Alec.
Yeah.
They got James Akinjo because, well, Nico's gone after next year or after this year. So I don't think he needs to come back and work on his overall skill set. I mean, if you really want to do that, you could do that in the NBA. I think Nico's capable of being an NBA point guard. All right. David H. at Heels 529. How concerned are you that Arizona has not beaten any of the top teams they have faced? Very concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very concerned.
The one thing you can point to, you know, where maybe you aren't as concerned is that this team is chock full of freshmen and you know, your key guys in these late game situations are all freshmen. Who are you turning to in these late game scenarios? Zeke Nagy, Nico Mannion, Josh Green, every now and then, you know, Dylan Smith. But this is the first time these guys have been put through that ringer of close college games, you know, on the road against a great team that knows great teams like Gonzaga and Oregon and Baylor that know how to stop you defensively, that know how to take out your best player. So that, I think you could point to and say, you know, they can eventually figure that out. But at the same time, what if they don't? I mean, you keep going through these situations where you think, this time Arizona looks like they can close the door. I thought they were going to close the door tonight against Oregon. And then they just couldn't put their foot on the throat of the Ducks, and Ducks came back and won. You know, they had a great first half against Gonzaga. Then, you know, Gonzaga's experience overwhelmed Arizona. You know, Baylor, they had a chance to beat Baylor on the road. You know, St. John's, they had a chance to beat St. John's, and they let that slip away. I mean, they've lost their losses. They haven't been blown out. They've all been close games, which is a positive. But at the same time, it's pretty alarming that, you know, we're, you know, over 2 months of this season. We're less than 2 months away from March Madness, and we're about two months away.
Yeah.
And you still can't close out a game right now.
Against top 25 opponents this year, Arizona has lost by a combined 10 points. And that's against three teams. All the teams that you just said. Baylor, Gonzaga, and most recently Thursday night against Oregon.
Where I think this hurts Arizona the most, they're losing right now. This doesn't mean that they can't all of a sudden, you know, pull off wins in March, February, March.
Well, it's that kind of year in college basketball.
It's that kind of year, but, you know, it'll really affect their seeding and, you know, where they go and play their games. You know, instead of getting maybe a 4 or 5 seed out in Sacramento, maybe you're, you know, the 7 or 8 seed out in Florida.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That, you know, when you have to go across the country, you know, and maybe play a Kentucky who's, you know, a 5 seeder, you know, something like that, where you're put in a disadvantaged situation because you couldn't take care of business in the regular season. That's where I think these losses can really come to bite Arizona.
Now, the Oregon loss was a little different than Gonzaga and then Baylor because Arizona rallied back in those two games. against Gonzaga, against Baylor. They were down by double digits, were able to rally back, have a chance to win the game at the end. But this game against Oregon, they simply just gave it up to them.
Yeah, Arizona led for 33 minutes tonight.
Yeah. And 6 points, right, with just a little over a minute to go?
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do that, man. You have to be able to close out games, and Arizona lost an opportunity Thursday night. They completely lost an opportunity. Now, what are the next big games on their schedule? Maybe Colorado. You got Oregon again, and then you got the Washington schools.
Yeah, really, Washington could have been a really big opportunity for Arizona, but Washington's going to be missing Quade Green, who's been ruled academically ineligible until the end of the spring semester for Washington, which ends like the week of March Madness. Mm. So, or either that or the week before, the week of the Pac-12 tournament. So Washington's going to be missing a key guy. So right now they're not a top 25 team. So we expected the Pac-12 to have some elite teams. You know, it's Oregon and Colorado, Arizona. ASU's not up there yet. You know, ASU's going to have a down year. Utah, Oregon State, Stanford are kind of your three where on any given day, maybe they have a good game and can win. And there's some solid teams right there that are on the fringe of making, you know, the March Madness tournament. But Arizona's running out of chances to load up on some of these key wins.
Difference between, you said Florida and Sacramento, these kind of wins right here. Philip Coffeen at AZ Griff said Arizona battled through a hard fought game. Oregon was lucky to win. Hashtag Arizona basketball. Was Oregon lucky to win? Did they get away with a foul call at the end of the game?
I don't
know. Did Peyton Pritchard block Zeke Nagy or did he foul him? I thought it was a clean play.
And
if you're a ref, you're really going to make that call if it's not obvious?
Yeah, like, it wasn't obvious enough for it to be a foul call. But
the 50-50 balls, though.
Yeah, Oregon definitely dove for some 50-50 balls. I'll pull up another quote from Sean Miller here. He was talking about it. He said he thought his team – I thought we played our hearts out, says Sean Miller. They were 6 to 8 plays on loose balls that needed to be made, and Oregon made more of those than we did. So basically he's saying, you know, that's where the game was. Those loose balls, Oregon dove for them.
Hustle plays.
Arizona didn't. But I'll make, you know, one last point of, you know, from the previous tweet that we had from a fan, and thanks for submitting that. Given the context of the game and how it played out, sure, you could say that Oregon was lucky to escape with the win because Arizona did have a very good opportunity to win and they let it slip through their grasp. But on the outside, Oregon was favored by 3. You're Arizona going on the road to play its first Pac-12 road game of the year. First game away from McHale Center for Arizona since December 21st. First true road game since December 7th against Baylor. So given the circumstances, this was a great effort from Arizona. But the end result, just letting those little mistakes, that did it in.
Yeah. Well, they got a game against Oregon State. And
yeah, that's a good news.
While you
can turn around and get another one over.
You think Oregon State, man, they sneak up on people in Corvallis, but I think Arizona's going to bounce back against the Beavers. Trace Tinkle playing against Arizona for the 100th time in his collegiate career.
Peyton Pritchard and Trace Tinkle over under 100 games combined against Arizona.
Always take the over with those two. So Arizona falls to Oregon 74-73 in overtime. Tough loss for the Arizona Wildcats in Eugene. If you want all content on Arizona basketball, go to Tucson.com. And if you don't want to go to Tucson.com, if you're not a subscriber and you want free content, yes, I said that correctly, free content, then what you want to do is you want to go to the App Store or Google Play if you have an Android, search the Wildcaster app, download it, rate it, let us know how we're doing. Everything is on there from stories, some photo galleries, cool videos, and also podcast schedules as well. Like, if you're an Arizona diehard fan, the Wildcaster app is just what you need. So download it. It's free and available on the App Store and Google Play. And if you haven't yet, subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. Arizona loses to Oregon 74-73 in overtime. For Alec, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.